Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The national anthem presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com, where you can order all of your catering for your next event. Maybe it's graduation. Maybe it's a draft party. I hope you got your order in already. The draft's tonight. BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com or CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com to have the Sweet Heat and the Carolina Gold and their Secret Spice Fantastic Rub delivered right to your doorstep. If you're a terrible cook, they'll make your food taste a lot better. I can promise you that. You can even put that rub on vegetables like we put it on broccoli and all kinds of stuff. Billy G's Carolina Barbecue.com. So Daniel Kelly has returned, and he's the only dude that we could find anywhere that puts the value that he has put into both Spencer Rattler and Xavier Leggett. We'll see if their names either or both come off the board tonight, but I sure am glad to have you. And we've got you on draft day. You've put a lot of work into draft day, and today is your day, and you're taking time to spend with us. So we can't thank you enough for that, man.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me on. It's like Christmas morning. Merry draft day is as they say. I counted it up. I've evaluated 870 games from the time the draft ended last year until now. So a lot of work has gone on into it, and I'm ready.
Yeah. Well, we're ready too. I don't think we're as ready as you are. Firstroundmock.com. If you would like to check out all of his work, and he points that out on the website as well. In addition to the prospects that you have diagnosed, if you will, over the last few months and beyond. All right. So I'll ask you before we get to the players. What is your day look like? Are you just kind of settling in? What are you doing?
Well, it's filled with a lot of nervous energy at this point. It's kind of like the Super Bowl Juniors, I call it. So I woke up and, of course, jumped right on social media, saw everything that was going on there, made a few comments, made a few posts. I'll go ahead and I'll write one more article today on my site, just kind of recapping everything and kind of putting the whole process in the perspective. And then my wife, Samantha, and I are going to head to a local sports bar here in Key West where we're having a draft party, and a bunch of folks are going to show up, and we're all going to watch the draft together. So it's just kind of like a big whirlwind of just all this draft stuff all just rolled into one. And it's hard to believe it's here, but it's here.
Well, you've been to the draft as a scout before, right?
No, actually, I have not been to the draft. I've been to the NFL scouting combine a number of times, also the Senior Bowl, and then in the war room with the New York Jets as well. So I guess that counts as being at the draft, as being in the draft room. But I've always wanted to go to the actual event, and at some point here in the near future, I'm going to go back to the actual draft itself.
What is it like being in the war room?
Intense. It is super intense. I mean, as a young guy, it was standing room only. I was standing in the doorway at the New York Jets. It's when Bill Parcells was there, Bill Belichick was there, Scott Pioli, Mike Tannenbaum, Dick Haley, all the scouts were there. It was super intense. You could literally hear a pin drop in the room. I remember like looking at the TV set up at the front of the war room, and there was Chris Berman and Mel Kiper and all the guys talking on TV, and there was like a freestanding AT&T speaker in the middle of the room where our PR guy, Doug Miller, was standing by live. And of course, Bill Parcells would wander in and out of the room. Nobody really said anything. In the back table was Mike Tannenbaum, who was our contract guy at the time. He was like fielding phone calls, feverishly banging out numbers on the calculator, because he actually put together like a mathematical equation of, you know, as far as putting assigning a value to each pick to see if the pick made sense to the Jets or not to trade. Phone would ring, he would pick it up. He would like, you know, put some numbers into a calculator. They would quietly confer in the back table. Nothing happened. And they said, well, the New York Jets are on the clock. The time is winding down. And Bill Parcells was nowhere to be found. He walked out of the room and just left. Absolutely. And then he would come back in the room and, he would talk for a few minutes to the guys at the back table. And then they would make the pick, and he would, he would say the name of the player he wanted. And they would, all of a sudden the TV, the commissioner would come up to the podium and he'd say, with the such and such pick and the 99 NFL draft, the New York Jets select. And of course, it'd be right there. And then, Parcells would get up and leave the room again. But it was just like all the scouts were just like, shuffling through papers just in case anybody was called on for a last second opinion. But it was just, it was a super intense experience.
So how's it where you got like a target in mind at that point, Daniel, and then you're just kind of like the GM's waiting on phone calls to consider whether or not trades or where they want to, like, okay, you're down this deep in your hot board. If nobody calls us, this is our guy. Or is that pick situation fluid up until you send the name in?
I think for our situation, it was pretty fluid up until the time the card, until Bill Parcells made the decision. Phone calls kept coming in, and it just depended how, good the offer was or what they wanted to do or what their priority list was. Nobody knew. I mean, the scouts, me as a young guy in pro scouting, nobody had any idea what they're actually going to do, and they don't make that known. But it's just like, it just seemed like there was some conversation always at the back table, and then boom, there was the pick.
Little draft nugget here. Since 2000, so this century, the SEC has 209 first round draft picks. The next closest league, the Big Ten, with 80 less, 129. The SEC is expected to lead the nation once again tonight. It'd be the 18th straight year with the most picks in the first round. Yeah, there's so many things that we have to get to with you, but on that note, and out of the SEC are two guys that our fan base will be watching very intently today and probably tomorrow. I'm not so sure that either one of these guys will be on the board on Saturday, but both Xavier Leggett and Spencer Rattler. So do me a favor, though, because at firstroundmock.com, you put this out not too long ago, your column, and the headline is former NFL scout, which is you. Former NFL scouts shocking 2024 first round value board. And value is a word that stands out. People might glance right over that and go, oh my gosh, this guy's projecting all these guys in the first round. And that's not what you're saying. This is your value board. So what is the difference in your value board versus first round projections?
Well, the value board to me is what the game film says these guys should be in the NFL draft. This is how their game film in college projected to the NFL game. Obviously, the NFL game's a lot different. The size of the football is even different, as Kenny Pickett found out. also, too, the game is just much faster and much more complex. Kind of that chasm between college football and the NFL is becoming even a little bit bigger, I believe, with NIL, because when these guys are transferring, it seems like the offenses are becoming even more simplistic. So when I watch these college guys on tape, I'm really watching them through what I call NFL colored glasses, and I'm watching them to, you know, look for the traits. You're always looking for dominant traits. That's what I look for at first round mock: elite traits, difference makers, dynamic things that they do. But then after, because what the watching the film process is really identifying patterns and tendencies and trends. And you're not looking at the one-off, you're looking for the patterns of these guys and the traits that they show on film. And the traits always have to show up in film for me, to project them into the first round. And then it's really just a matter of, okay, thinking myself, okay, how does this project to the NFL? And that's what I mean by NFL color glasses. Has this worked in the NFL? Have we seen this type of player succeed in the NFL? Who does this player remind me of who's played in the NFL and succeeded in the NFL? And that's the art of making the projection. There's always a couple of unknowns. It's a highly educated guess at its best. And what the value board means essentially is these are the guys who have shown the best potential of being able to make the jump from college football to the NFL, and the guys who will fit into the NFL game best. It's not a first round, type of, mock board that a lot of sites put out, where they're trying to guess which, where guys are going to go. And that part of it is just kind of saying, these are the guys that project best to the NFL. That's the art of the value board. And that's what I've gone ahead and done. They see which one of these guys will have their best chance.
I've got to tell you something, and I'm sure that I'm not the first person that has mentioned this to you, and I'm sure nobody needs to mention it to you. You're probably well aware of it. Some of these projections seem pretty values seem pretty outlandish to others who look at this. But I have a major hat tip for you for doing your own homework and standing by the information that you have based on what you've done to get to this point. Because we've talked to some other folks who are like, I haven't seen this anywhere, but that doesn't mean that it's not true. Time will tell whether these things are true. Of course, when these players get to the NFL and do what they're going to do. So what I'm getting at here is hat tip for what you've done. Because I do think it's unique that somebody's going to say, well, this is what I believe, and I'm not going to fall in line with everybody else. We'll get to Caleb Williams in a minute. You've been pretty critical of him every time we've had you on, and I've seen it on social media as well. So I'll just ask you this bold question then. About Spencer Rattler, I understand what you're saying from a value standpoint. I agree with you. I think he's a very valuable player. I think he's going to go to the NFL and play for a long time. Will he go in the first round?
I believe he will.
Really? Wow. Really?
I do. I believe that there's an evaluator out there who sees him for who he really is. A lot of times, you'll see this on like right after this draft ends, the way too early boards will come out and they'll have their Shador Sanders and all these people, and they'll have them throughout. And that's, everybody will just kind of echo that, and social media will be an echo chamber of it. But I believe that, there's an evaluator in the NFL, a general manager who will be able to turn on the tape and see, who Spencer Rattler really is, and appreciate the high level of maturity that's way beyond his years, and a high level leadership that's way beyond his years, and be able to say, you know what, that's a guy. That's the guy who has proven he can overcome adversity. That's the guy. Because really, this game in the NFL, like the old saying in scouting, is the game is won or lost from the neck up. And somebody out there is going to appreciate him for who he is and what he has accomplished. Because last year at South Carolina, it was borderline miraculous to me what he was able to accomplish. And somebody's going to look at the numbers and say, you know what? Spencer Rattler has a higher college completion percentage than Caleb Williams, than Drake May, than Michael Penix Jr. And they're going to see this for what it is. And they're going to say, you know what? He uplifted those offensive linemen there. Everything I'm hearing about Spencer is a good thing. You know, this guy didn't say anything. He didn't use the media as a platform to complain. This guy is what we want. This is a guy who can motivate and inspire greatness in our locker room. I really believe somebody's going to see that, a decision maker, a general manager in the NFL. And not only that, but Senior Bowl director Jim Nagy came out in a video around Senior Bowl time and said even that, you know, I've talked to teams, this is him talking, saying he's talked to teams that have Spencer, you know, ranked as a starter. Well, to me, okay, starter, that means first round. That means a franchise guy. That means a guy that you're going to put in there to be the guy to lead your team. So I think the fact that he has some, you know, inside information, some intel that, you know, some teams have Spencer rated that highly tells me that somebody's doing their homework, someone's watching the game film really intently, and someone's projecting him to be that guy. Because to me, if the NFL was based on, like, people's pay was based on wins and losses, I think it would be a lot different conversation. We wouldn't be reaching for quarterbacks based on some traits or some kind of potential, but we'd be looking at the guys for who they really are and who gives us our best chance to win. And to me, out of the whole bunch, Spencer Rattler's that guy that gives the NFL team the best chance to win.
Oh, I like that. I'm glad you brought that up, Daniel, because I saw that commission, thing that you put out, which is interesting. Like, and I thought it was a great thought experiment. Like, of, you know, these, you know, front office staffs, like, who would, you know, who's making the best evaluations? And a lot of these folks are fortunate that they've got, you know, name and lineage A in the NFL, and then, you know, are not necessarily paid on their drafting success, but a commission would definitely change that.
There's way more bad ones than good ones. Terrible, especially at quarterback. Look at their track record.
I know.
Blake Bortles is the savior of our franchise. Yeah, really.
Oh, and that brings me, how much does the media influence? Like, because at this point, I think the media are kind of responsible and forcing Chicago's hand to take Williams, number one. And I think there's more pressure from outside to take him. Not necessarily that he's going to be great because he's got, you know, some physical traits that, you know, are good, but that if you don't, and he does happen to be okay, then you're going to get railed for that. And that'll be what you get remembered for. Is there some of that that goes into some of these picks that they really are kind of unduly influenced from outside?
Yeah, there's a lot of that, unfortunately, goes on, the part of it that I don't really like. Now, originally, what I've been told from someone who's been a director in the NFL is a lot of times these media sources will, you know, on these way too early boards, they'll get their information from, you know, maybe scouting friends or whatnot in the league, and that's how they come up with their initial list. But it builds over time, and the media does this job of just, I mean, you see it on social media and in the echo chamber of Twitter and whatnot. It just, you know, whatever mainstream draft platforms put out just becomes kind of the pervasive thought process, and they just keep on every single day. Caleb Williams highlights, Caleb Williams highlights, Caleb Williams highlights, and it just keeps on and on and on with, and they just keep hammering it in people's heads that this is the guy, this is the guy. And so when it comes to be that day, I think there is some pressure, for certain organizations to be able to get those guys, because that's what everybody's been conditioned to think and believe, that, you know, Caleb Williams is a guy, or, you know, whoever, you know, it's Anthony Richardson or it's whoever it may be that year. It's Kenny Pickett, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson. I'm starting to get excited here. these are the guys. And I turn on the game film and I'm watching this. I'm thinking to myself, you know, I mean, I can't even fathom where this is going. I mean, like, you know, like watching a guy like Anthony Richardson, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn at Florida. I mean, he completed just a little bit over 50% 50% of his passes. He wasn't much better in high school, and he's a 59%, you know, 59.5% passer in the NFL. But you know, and there was that, you know, but it just becomes this media thing, just is a wheel that starts spinning and there's no brakes on it. And so, yeah. To answer your question, I think that it does play a role, and it plays way too big of a role. I really, truly believe, and that's why I'm the first in NFL draft media to, you know, put the level of accountability I do into this on you know, firstroundmock.com, is because I'm the first one out there that's actually providing links to the game film for accountability purposes and saying, okay, this is what I see. This is what I think. Here's the proof. I approach it like I'm in a courtroom. Here's what it is. Here's the background. Here's the links to the character issues. Here's all these different things, giving fans more of a chance to see what, you know, what actually this player really is. And I really do believe that the draft community should, you know, should be almost required to provide that level of accountability, because what's happening is fan bases are putting all their hopes into this. And if it doesn't come true, it just leads to disappointment. And that doesn't sit well with me. I think there's a very high level of responsibility, not only to the fan bases, but I think there's a very high level of responsibility also to the players, because the cruelest thing that anybody can do, and this is why I think it's such a responsibility, is overgrade a player. Because all that does, because when you put a grade on a player, you create expectations, unmet expectations are the source of all human disappointment. So if you put a grade and you way, way overgrade somebody, you're just setting them up. To me, they're going to fail, because there's no possible way. Like, to me, like, the expectations are so high in Caleb Williams, there's no possible human way he can reach them. They've built this guy up to be just this like a Superman, like they say his nickname is. The expectations are way up here. And so people are expecting every time he drops back, he's going to run around, he's going to make this huge play. Well, no, that's not the case. And so there is a responsibility there. And I think it has a lot of influence now in the teams, the fans, the thought process, the whole entire process itself.
It's so fascinating to have the discussion. ESPN's Bill Barnwell recently researched the first round quarterback success and bust rates in, quote, quarterback rich draft classes dating back to 1983. This year would be considered a, quote, quarterback rich draft class, because there are as many as six, if not seven, QBs in some projections going in the first round, and he classified them in five different categories: Hall of Famers and future Hall of Famers, franchise quarterbacks, solid starters, low-end pro careers, and disappointments. And of those draft classes, those quarterback-rich draft classes, again, this is dating back 40 years, 23 to 1983, 44.4% of the first-round quarterbacks in those classes ended up in the disappointment category. That is almost half of them, Daniel. And so basically what I've heard you say for months, we've had you on for months on our program, what I'm hearing you say, it could be Spencer Rattler or insert name here. I know Rattler is the flavor of the week, and he's part of who we cover here on this program, so obviously he's our center of attention. But this could easily be a quarterback at Fresno State, or this could easily be a quarterback at Texas A&M, or wherever it is around the country. And essentially what I'm hearing you say is, step outside the box and draft the quarterback that is best for your organization, not the one that the lists and the projections and everything else say is best. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of this is going to come down the fit for all these guys, you know, where they end up, and you know, finding that quarterback that best fits what an organization is doing. And also, you know, understanding that, you know, what are the major traits that you're looking for? I mean, like with Spencer Rattler, like I've touched on a number of times. I mean, he has proven, I mean, if you're going into a losing situation, right, top 10 teams, top 15 teams, adversity is like their best friend. I mean, that is what those situations are. They are, and whoever comes into those situations has got to be able to fight their way out of adversity. So if I'm a team in the top 10, I'm looking at a guy like Spencer Rattler, who has proven that he can overcome adversity, a guy that, you know, has done it, and or a guy like a Michael Penix Meeks Jr., who overcame four straight seasons of season-ending injuries, you know, at Indiana, and he was just, he was crying on the floor and contemplating quitting football. It was so mentally difficult on him, and he was able to pull himself out of that and go to Washington and deliver, you know, two good seasons, really 2023 being his best season, and saying, okay, this guy's on an upward trajectory. And to me, if I'm an NFL general manager, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I need to get a guy that's going to lead us out of adversity. I'm going to go for one of those two guys, not a guy like Caleb Williams, who, you know, but, you know, these guys are giving the information on a silver platter. Caleb Williams comes out last November in the LA Times and all but admits, I mean, he's basically saying, I don't have much experience dealing with adversity. You know, I haven't really done this too much. It's a new experience for me. I'm dealing with it emotionally and spiritually and physically. And I'm leaning on Lincoln Riley, and I'm talking to my family, and I'm trying to figure this out. And, you know, to put a guy like that into these situations is not, you know, I mean, I don't know what people expect, but he's not somebody that has proven by his own mouth to have much experience dealing with adversity. So yes. You know, I really do believe that it's not just about picking the guy that's on the list or the guy that shows the best raw traits, but it is about finding the guy that best fits the situation of your team and also the what situation you're in as a team. You know, if you have a losing record, you need to find a guy that really has it going on from the neck up.
Yeah, this is really great. By the way, another number to add to that, according to USA Today's Jim Sergeant, 74 quarterbacks through last year since 1999, 74 have gone in the first round, 28 wound up being, quote, franchise stalwarts, Daniel, and 39, that is 53%, wound up being disappointments, 39. So this gets all the attention every single year, and then it quickly turns into, well, that guy was a bust. No wonder these guys go through major life evaluations of themselves. Everybody tells them for how many years how great they are, and then they have a bad year in the NFL, and all of a sudden you suck, you blew it, get out of town, I'm on Twitter and I can tell you what I think, yada yada yada. It's a bunch of bunch of nonsense. All right, so let's turn the page to Xavier Leggett, because if what you said comes true, and Spencer Rattler goes in the first round tonight in the NFL draft, South Carolina will have a chance for a pair of offensive first rounders. It'd be the first time since 1981 that that's happened, when the very first pick came from the Gamecocks program, George Rogers. And then 13 picks behind him was tight end Willie Scott, who went to the Kansas City Chiefs. This could be Rattler and Xavier Leggett tonight. Where do you have Xavier Leggett on your value board, and where do you have him going in the draft?
Number three overall. He's my wide receiver one in the entire draft class. I love everything I've seen from Xavier Leggett. He's somebody that has shown his catch rate has been incrementally going up every year of his career, last year ending up at 73%. That's what you want to see out of a receiver. You want to see any prospect. You want to see them on an upward trajectory, never a downward one, always an upward trajectory in my mind going into the NFL. They're getting better and better each and every year. And, you know, he to me is the most instinctual wide receiver in this draft class. He is a very polished route runner who's beyond his years. It takes more than just, you know, speed and quick, you know, be able to flip your hips quickly and change direction. These corners in the NFL have played this position for, you know, 5, 10, some of them more years, and they can see route trees in their sleep. I mean, it's what they do. And what the unique thing about Leggett is that he basically runs his routes to a spot which makes him harder to cover. And he also does a really good job of working back to the quarterback when the quarterback's in trouble. So he's a very, he's beyond his years in his route running. That's why I think he's really going to be good in the NFL. And, you know, as far as where I see him ending up, there's a lot of different chatter going on out there right now. But, you know, there's a lot of talk, even, you know, early second round with Carolina. you know, Carolina would be a dream spot for, I mean, Bryce Young would, you know, thank his lucky stars if he got someone like Leggett, because obviously, you know, he bailed out Spencer Rattler big time last year. But as far as the first round, a team like San Francisco, I think he should be the top receiver taken in the entire draft personally, because he is so polished and he's got that big, strong, muscular frame. And the thing too, he excels at all three route levels, short, intermediate, and deep. He does most of his best work downfield, intermediate to deep level. He's got really good ball tracking skills and also a good vertical, and he's able to high point the ball very well too, which I'm sure you guys saw. He's the best, you know, they say, oh, who's the best Moss in somebody? Well, he's not Randy Moss. He's not jumping out of a gym. I don't want to say that on the record, but he's the best receiver at mossing people in this draft as far as going up and get it on the 50-50 balls and taking it away. So I have very high hopes for Leggett based on what he's showing on game film. And to me, he's the top receiver on the board.
If he gets a San Fran, him and Debo Samuel, you know, they're both Gamecocks. So he'll just be out there just wrecking shop against everybody. I think folks in our neck of the woods are nervous, although it'd be great for him to be right up the road. They're nervous about him ending up in Charlotte because it is just a debacle up there. But you can't get better unless you draft good players. And if they draft Xavier Leggett, you think he's the best wide out in the draft. And even if he's not, this is a very deep group of wide receivers. Like overall, if you're saying that, like how much credit are you really giving a guy like Xavier Leggett here from little old Mullins, South Carolina, when he is considered one of the best with this group? Over, like, give us a grade on the entire group of wide outs that we'll hear a lot of their names called tonight.
Yeah, there's no question. Leggett being the top one, my wide receiver two is out of Texas, Adonai Mitchell, who I really liked. To me, he's CD Lamb 2.0. He's a guy that just is explosive. Then you got a guy like my wide receiver three, Malik Nabers, just devastating speed and quickness. So just like a lot of those LSU guys like Jamar Chase, even he's kind of got an on and off switch, which kind of bothered me about Nabers. But when he's on, he's probably the most explosive of all the group as far as, you know, playmaking ability is concerned. Then a guy like my wide receiver four, Roma Dunze out of Washington, reminds me a lot of Al Toon. It's a name that you guys probably remember from back in the day, just smooth as butter. just a guy that just, you know, is another one of those guys that's really polished, runs nice routes, good hands. Knows, you know, he's got, you know, kind of a rare combination. He's got good size, so he's able to kind of muscle corners, as well as having the rare combination of the hip fluidity of a smaller receiver, able to change direction really quickly and get open. And it's all about creating throwing windows against these corners, and he really excels at that. And then, you know, guys like later on in the first round, guys like Jalen Polk, who's my wide receiver five out of Washington. He's not a popular name a lot of people are throwing around, but he reminds me of Andre Rison, another guy, I mean, big, strong guy, very aggressive, strong frame, strong arm, strong personality. And that's what you need a receiver. You need somebody that can get in these corners' faces and say, you know what, you're not going to bully me around here. I'm going to bully you. And that's Jalen Polk. He's a very aggressive receiver, and aggression wins. I think, you know, he's in for a big time in the NFL. My wide receiver six, Ladd McConkey, out of Georgia, who I really like. If John, like great John Madden was still with us, remember the old Madden team, he would always love the guys that roll around in the mud and catch everything, throw in their direction. And I think he'd be on the all Madden team. It's a guy that's, to me, severely underrated, a guy who runs really good routes, good hands, polished, a guy that reminds me a lot of Christian Kirk, the slot guy down in Jacksonville. I love Christian Kirk in Arizona. To me, I banged on my keyboard as hard as I could for the Detroit Lions. I was writing for SI Detroit Lions at the time for them to get Kirk when he was a free agent. Instead, he went to Jacksonville. But to me, he kind of reminds me of that Christian Kirk type that you can bring in there, throw in the slot, and he's going to give a nickel everything he can possibly handle and some. He's a real true difference maker type of receiver. And then my seventh wide receiver I put a first round grade on. The first round was Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. Is a guy that, you know, has drawn a lot of comparisons to a Deebo Samuel, and but to me, I won't go that far with it. But this is a guy that has legs built like a power back. He's got those big legs and strong legs. He's got a very muscular frame, and to me, when I watch NFL game film, you know, NFL corners are a team laundry guy's best friend. I mean, they don't really like to tackle, get their jerseys dirty too much, you know, and so a guy like Corley, who excels at catching those bubble screens, you know, and then just turning it up field, is going to be a real problem in the NFL. The NFL better hope that the 49ers, I mean, the rich don't get richer at the end of the first round, because if they were able to get a Malachi Corley, for example, and all of a sudden they got Deebo and Corley, that would create, you know, twice the trouble I think everybody has covering those guys out in San Francisco. But they all bring a unique skill set. Corley's also very instinctive, and he can just destroy zone coverage on game film as well. So those are the guys. So I got seven first round grades on wide receivers I just listed off there. And, you know, it's a very deep year of receivers. And there are some guys in the second round, which aren't too bad either. And it's a very deep draft for receivers. And of course, that's the name of the game in this NFL, you know, this pass happy league that we see right now, is getting the ball downfield. And I think a lot of teams are really going to help themselves through this 2024 NFL draft with the receiving core.
Yeah, I was looking at your order of importance, which is, of course, dead on. Quarterback and then wide receiver, or, quote, elite tight end. There's one of those. His name is Brock Bowers. I'm suspecting he's going to go pretty darn high tonight. What do you think about Brock?
Love Brock Bowers. One of my very favorite players. He's my number two rated player in my entire board. You know, if Spencer was in his draft, he would have been my number one player on my board. To me, he's only the second player I've ever put a pre-draft Hall of Fame grade on. And I do that very carefully. He's a guy that's just a true difference maker. One of the things I love most about Brock Bowers, watching him, is he's the same guy regardless if, you know, Georgia's up by seven or down by seven, or it's the beginning of the game or the end of the game. I mean, the real true test of a superstar to me is that, you know, what does he look like when nobody's watching him? And, you know, I mean, he's as tenacious of a blocker as he is a receiver. I mean, he'll go after people, and he has no, I mean, it's not beneath him to block somebody. He'll sacrifice his body to do it. And to me, that's really impressive for someone who's has that star status and playing in Georgia. I mean, he wouldn't have to do that, but he does do it. You know, and he's a guy that just creates, mismatch nightmares. I mean, cause really tight ends are playing against, some of your less athletic players on the defense, matching up against linebackers, safeties, or a little bit more rigid, stiff in the hips. Bowers changes direction extremely well, and he does this little thing when he's coming down. He gets into his routes really fast and aggressively, and he comes down into the secondaries pretty quickly, and he does this thing where he does this shake and bake thing, like the signature move that he has, and it's like in that split second the defender has to guess, okay, where are we going with this, you know, are we going inside, outside? And you know, it's by then it's too late. You know, Bowers is already inside making the grab. He's got really good hands. And he's somebody that also a value to Brock Bowers that a lot of analysts don't talk about is the fact, now commentators during the game touched on it, but draft people haven't really talked about it much, is he draws so much attention when he's running routes that he clears out areas for other receivers selflessly on routes to help his teammates be able to catch passes too. So to me, he's a complete tight end, meaning a pass catcher and a blocker. He's somebody that has a lot of pre-snap versatility as far as moving around the formation. You can line him up in tight, put him in slot, put him out wide. He's somebody that defenses always have to be aware of at all times. So from a game playing standpoint, he changes the dynamics and the complexion of a game plan for defenses. I think they always have to be aware of where he's at. And to me, that's a definition of a game changer. And, you know, we've seen how much difference great tight ends have made for some of these offenses throughout the years. And I really think that some quarterback is going to be extremely happy tonight to hear that name called, and he's on his team.
If I were the Bears, I'd take him with my second pick, because you have two veterans now in Moore and Keenan Allen. And Cole Kmet's a pretty good tight end, but he's kind of above average. I think I'm with you on Bowers. I think he's the best. I mean, everybody loved Kyle Pitts, right? I think Bowers is better than Kyle Pitts. He's more.
I do too. Winger.
a better football player and just as good of an athlete. You didn't mention Marvin Harrison Jr. when you were going down to the receivers. Was that inadvertent, or are you not as high on Marvin as some other people?
Well, he's in there. That was an inadvertent. Marvin is another guy. Thank you for bringing him up. I've been really disappointed in Marvin Harrison Jr., to be honest with you. To me, this is a guy that, you know, I mean, he's got the big name, and it's a good catch on your part here. I'm just doing this all. I haven't got much sleep during this draft process. but you know, he's a guy that, of course, is the son of Hall of Fame Colts wide receiver Marvin Harrison Sr. And to me, when I watched the game film, I watched 14 games on him in 2022 and 2023. And to me, just, you know, he lacked wow moments. He caught everything that was thrown right in his hands. I mean, if it's right here, he's catching it. He's just not a guy that wants to go out of his way on game film. He's not a guy that, you know, he'll make a little adjustment here and there. But to me, he needs to go to an NFL team who has a quarterback that has pinpoint downfield precision, because he's just not going out of his way much for anything else. And really, as they say in social media, the old saying, or the newer saying, I should say, is he lacks that dog in him. That's really what it comes down to. I think he probably grew up a little softer, grew up a little bit more with privilege. That's understandable, obviously, having a dad, you know, being that famous and you know, financially successful, Matt. And that's what shows up on tape. And what was really interesting to me is after the season ended was watching what, you know, because I published this article saying Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't like to go out of his way. And then all of a sudden we see the NFL combine and he blows off the press conference. And then we see his pro day, he doesn't participate. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, that's what I saw the last two seasons on film, is this is a guy who kind of does his own thing, doesn't really, you know, want to go out of his way, and that's what showed up all this offseason as well. Marvin Harrison Jr. scares me a lot. I know a lot of people have very high hopes for him. I mean, he has the ability from the neck down. He has everything a team would want in a franchise wide receiver, but to me, the concern is from the neck up, what team he ends up on. If he ends up in a bad situation, I just don't know where he's going to fall. But to me, he kind of, like, you know, my comp for Marvin Harrison Jr. is when his career is over, is somewhere between Michael Westbrook, if we remember him from Colorado, and Keyshawn Johnson, you know, from USC, of course, with the Jets. That's kind of the range I see him in, but I do not see him as a Hall of Fame player when it's all said and done.
Man, you've got me even more excited than I was before for the draft tonight. We'll see if this happens. Right on cue, Peter Burns, our buddy Peter Burns up at the SEC Network, just tweeted out a reminder. Let me go back and read this to get it exactly right here. Peter Burns tweeted, "Good afternoon. Just a reminder, Spencer Rattler is going to be the best value at quarterback in the draft." That's something that you have been saying for quite some time. So
yes, I like that a lot. Absolutely, absolutely.
It's amazing when the narrative begins to shift when reality hits sometimes, and it seems like you've been speaking in reality for quite a while. I know Peter Burns. I'll give him some credit too. Peter is
absolutely
on TV for quite some time. Said this is kind of my guy, and not that he's a draft expert like you and others, but it is neat to see those type of things. So, look, man, unless these guys have anything else for you, we've probably taken all the time we need from you, because it's, let me guess, hold on. Let's see. It's 1242. I'm going to go with 85 and sunny in the Keys today. What's the temperature?
Yeah, it's. I haven't been outside yet. That tells you kind of what I've been doing with the draft today.
you live in the Keys. I'd be sleeping outside if I lived in the Keys.
I imagine it's kind of like an accountant on tax day, right? You're taking next week off, right, Daniel? You're.
Well, yeah. There's always a hard crash after the draft ends. You know, it's kind of like a draft hangover. It's kind of like, you know, it's like like if you've ever seen the movie Forrest Gump. You know, I just finished my last evaluation the other day, and all of a sudden I got done with it. I told my wife, Samantha, I'm like, I feel like Forrest Gump when he's out there for that long run. And all of a sudden they said, quiet. He's going to say, you know, I'm done. I'm going to go home now. You know?
Go home now.
You know, it's just this anticlimactic moment, and all of a sudden there's this daunting realization. You know, it takes a couple days, and there's a draft hangover, and then all of a sudden, you know, thoughts of Shedeur Sanders start creeping into my mind, probably. And there I am again and launching into watching all of his games. But yeah, it's a marathon. I mean, I literally started evaluating guys the day after last year's draft and going this whole time. So, but yeah, it's sunny. I can tell you guys it's sunny in Key West today. It's beautiful outside. You know, I'm sure I'll experience the outdoors weather walking from here to the sports bar. My wife and I are going to watch a draft. But yeah, there's the thing about this draft stuff is there's a lot of watching film and not a lot of time spending at the beach.
Well, I will say this. Hopefully, it's a beachfront bar that you'll be at tonight. I honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, if I could switch spots with anybody today, it would probably be you to watch the NFL draft at a bar on the beach in the Keys. My goodness,
it's I would love you guys to be down here. You would all be invited, of course, and it's going to be at a place called Kaya's Island Eats. If that gives you any idea as far as like how cool it's going to be. They're going to have the draft up there, and people be strolling in from the streets to see what their favorite team's going to do. So it's
How do you spell that?
I think it's K-A-Y-A, if I remember correctly, Kaya Island Eats.
Yep,
that's it. And
there it is.
That's where it's going to be.
All right.
Oh, so this be the perfect place.
It's not. Oh, no, where'd it go? Okay, so you're about two blocks off of the water over there.
Yeah, real close. You see, I have to go somewhere to get some good island food because you guys make me so hungry with all that barbecue talk and all the sauces and all the stuff. It's like, right. I got to get somewhere where they have some good food. I can't just live off Totino's frozen pizzas like I have during this draft cycle. I got to get out sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, let's see. Conch fritters, man. I could do a good conch fritter any day of the week. See, this is what we really have people on for here, man. We like to talk a lot of food. Killer fish tacos, black and fried or grilled mahi with key lime cilantro sauce. I can do that.
Yeah. No, it's pretty good. A little known draft fact for you guys, too, that Tennessee Titans general manager Rand Carthon actually is from Key West.
Wow.
Really?
All right.
Yeah. So that's another little draft tidbit for you guys.
Maybe he'll retire there when he's done. Because the draft is in, where's the draft tonight? Detroit, right?
Detroit,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. Would I rather be in the thick of it with all the idiots who just go there to boo the commissioner? I don't know who pays them to do that, but like, would I rather be in the with the idiots in Detroit? No offense to the great Detroit, Michigan, or would I rather just watch it on TV in the Keys? Give me the Keys. You know, I'm going to the Keys.
Absolutely. Wish you guys were here. It'd be a lot of fun for sure.
Well, look, man, If there's a lot of Gamecock fans that are hoping that all this hard work you've done and what you've said that they hope that it all comes to fruition this evening for a couple of great players but better people in Spencer Rattler and Xavier Leggett. If Xavier Leggett goes, little nugget for everybody here, he would be the 12th wide receiver taken since 2005 out of the University of South Carolina. That's not too shabby in the last 20 draft classes. So we'll see if it happens in the Mullen, South Carolina will be tuned in tonight as well. Man, we kept you for a while. Thank you for everything that you do. You've done a great job. You got a great website, and you're very entertaining. We love having you. It's fun.
Yeah, man. Hey, thank you. Thank you, guys. I love being on your show. It's always a lot of fun, and it's been great talking about all these 2024 NFL draft prospects and mainly Leggett and Spencer Rattler. And it's kind of like the old thing goes. It's wherever the opportunity knocks. And I know we've seen, you know, like when you ask me, like, where are these guys going to end up? And, of course, we just saw a couple years ago, I mean, Brock Purdy is the last player picked in the draft. He's in the Super Bowl. So it's just about where the opportunity is, and being the right fit is the most important thing.
Well, the right fit seems to be the signature Asian or Cajun catch this evening with over jasmine ginger rice and hot Chinese mustard something with pickled carrot ginger salad and some conch fritters and bang bang fish.
Absolutely. Maybe with a key lime blogger or something on the side.
Oh, man, this menu is phenomenal. I cannot believe all the stuff on it. My wife would kill to go to this place.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, it's a really, really good spot, and it's just a fun place to hang out as well.
Dude, we're headed to the Keys, honey. Pack your bags. All right. Thanks, man.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the draft. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. It can't be that far on the maps. You guys can make the drive sometime, too. It just go right straight down the Keys, right through Miami, down to the Keys, and here you'd be. We'd be on Kaya Island. It's
as simple as it sounds. It's I-95. I mean, I-95 is
see?
It sucks, you know, like getting out of South Carolina.
But it's worth the drive.
Yeah. Indeed.
Just fly and drive. Fly to Miami and drive from there is probably the way to do it. But it's not far. It didn't take long. There you go. So thanks, man. Can't wait to have you back.
Thank you again, guys. Enjoy the draft. Absolutely. Yes, can't wait to be back. Enjoy the draft, everybody.
Thanks, take care.
Thanks.
What a great segment there with it. And I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. People might laugh. His value, or again, you got to remember now, he's talking about value versus projections. He didn't give you that first round projection. He's talking about who he has as the most valuable players. We asked him point blank about Rattler, and he said, yes, I think somebody is going to step up and take him. I don't know if that's true or not. We're going to find out. But dude, hat tip to somebody that's willing to do. I mean, he's studied 870 some odd games and done all this information. I'd stand on my own 2 feet too, instead of falling in line with the rest of the country. So I'm a big fan of his, and I think the number is 81% of all of his first rounders last year went in the first or second rounds, pretty close. So you know, I'm a fan of Daniel Kelly, and I'm glad we've had him on, and I'm glad he accepts our invitation.
Yeah, man, it's been fun. He's always a good time, and you know, and like you, I appreciate anybody who's willing to not just step out on the ledge, but to be like, that this is my damn ledge.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm yep. cool with that, man.
And here's my reason why. That's right. Yeah. I mean, you know, willing to back it up, not just throwing it out there to sensationalize the whole process. You know, he's actually done his own work.
Well, I mean, like. And by the way, big slamma jamma, that is something that JC, you and I might have even discussed this at some point in time, but I have that jotted down in some future notes. Mm-hmm. Just kind of an FYI, our football programming this fall is going to be changing a little bit for the better. And that is something I have jotted down, is to have him for frequent evaluations about prospects at the University of South Carolina during football season. So you're on it, man. Maybe we should hire you as a producer. Phil, get out of the chair. But I'd rather have a conversation with somebody like that than the same dude over and over. It's going, yeah, I mean, you know, he's probably like a third rounder, like maybe sneak into the second, but like maybe early fourth, probably third. Xavier Legette into the first round. It's the same crap. You hear it everywhere. You see the same stuff. Well, these are the top three quarterbacks in the draft. No matter what you say, you're wrong. Caleb Williams is the man. He doesn't like talking to the media. He hates people. And he wants a piece of the organization, but yeah, he's the dude. And then Drake. I mean, same crap. Like, I'd rather have somebody who's willing to flip a coin. So
I can respect it. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with everything Daniel said. I think taking the Gamecock glasses off, Xavier Legette at WR1 is a reach. I can make more of a case for, Spencer Rattler than him. I have a big problem with the Fantastic Six quarterbacks everybody keeps hyping, because, like I said, when you start throwing hobbled Michael Penix, and you start throwing, who I like, but the injuries are real. I mean, they happen. He's injury prone. You start throwing Bo Nix in there, even J.J. McCarthy, who basically drove a Cadillac in a NASCAR race while Rattler drove a Pinto and won and finished 10th, you know? I mean, I there's got to be some reality here, but I think the NFL does this. I think they sometimes don't, and I noticed this when I was evaluating high school players. You know how much harder that is, by the way? You know how many high school football players there are compared to college football players? And do you know how many different levels there are in states? And you got to compare them state to state and rank, is this O-tackle a better prospect than this running back? And, you know, it's apples to oranges. It sucks. We use NFL draft data to determine position value and stuff. And if you look at the recruiting rankings, even now, as big of a problem as I have with a lot of them, especially in South Carolina, they bat 600. So does the NFL draft with all the resources they have. I think it gets to be ridiculous. I think that I think at quarterback in particular, look at how many bad quarterbacks are in the NFL. I think they overthink the position. They fall in love with certain traits. And that's gonna get you beat.
Totally agree.
That's gonna get you beat, man. Think about two receivers coaches we've had here at South Carolina.
You're right. You know who you fall in love with, JC? Fall in love with offensive linemen. Fall in love with edge players. That's who you fall in love with if you're in the NFL draft in the first round. Fall in love with those guys. Don't fall in love with quarterbacks. Find the right fit.
Or receivers like Steve Spurrier Jr. like spent his entire career after Sidney Rice looking for the next Sidney Rice. It was like the white whale. Well, and then he lucked out and got Debo. Brian McClendon spent the next part of his career looking for the next Debo, a 220-pound running back in a receiver's body. And if you look back at his recruiting at Georgia, he liked guys like that too. And they'd go and they'd be rated four stars and they couldn't run. And you'd pass over faster, smaller guys or, you know, guys that were just speed. I mean, that's happened here with colleges. I mean, you're right, Jamie. Fall in love with the freak edge player that, you know, if I were a small school in Alabama, I would go recruit 4 and 5A basketball programs and take their best small forward. Teaching to play red shirt and teaching to play football. And I guarantee you, I would put out probably 50% would go to the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, those are the types of athletic freaks you look for in this gladiator sport. It's not, you know, it's not what some people at the NFL level do. But hey, look, it's they're making the big bucks and whatever, you know. And then the draft people, the draft gurus. Very seasonable folks. I mean, 20 of them will pop up.
Yeah.
You know, for every Kuiper and McShay, I'm going to miss McShay. I thought he did a really good job. You know, there's 20 of them that are. But I like Daniel. I think Daniel's lived it a little bit. And he puts
the work in.
Anybody that puts the work in, I'm not going to hate on you. You know, even if I hate on your opinion, that's fine. But I'm not going to hate on you. I mean, I respect the work.
Yeah, and Big Wash, Big Slamma here in the chat box. I'm with you guys. Like, we don't have to just plug in the next. I mean, it's not like the dude's a fan of the Gamecocks. He could care less whether they win or lose. You know, this we found him because he did this. We didn't ask him to. So, you know, I'm
all that wild report he put out about Rattler, and we're like, let's see if he wants to come on the show.
Yeah, and you guys are right. You know what? You know, he gave an opinion, and then he backed it up with the information that he's gathered since last January, and just 13 months worth of evaluating these guys. So, you know, I give him all the credit in the world, and very thankful that that he accepts our invitation to come hang out with us. And now I'm stuck on this Kaya Island Eats down in Key West. I'm gonna have to find a way to get down there. All right,
Nat's been bugging me about Key West ever since you saw Morgan Summer went down there.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Down. Yeah, I got a couple of those pictures. I'm getting a little bit of that up here.
Yeah. I'm at the most southern point in the United States.
FYI, Golden Tones, if you're listening, I know we played phone tag this morning. I'll call you back here in a little while. All right. We got to run a couple of quick notes. One from Coach King's acquired. I knew about this a few days ago, but I guess I thought it had already been public. So for those that maybe miss this, Will Tippett won't play this weekend. They're hoping to get him back sometime next week. And then he did confirm, Coach Kingston confirmed that the rotation will maintain itself this weekend. Roman Kimble will get the ball tomorrow, and Eli Jones will get it on Saturday, and old Tibba will go on Sunday. That would be TBA. But to talk about all of that is...
I thought there was a new pitcher named Tibba that I didn't know about. That's right. Come on. Tibba. You're killing my football brain here.
Yeah, that's right. Tibba.
My helmet head is hurting.
To talk about all of that, coming up next is my old buddy, Kip Botnight, right here, inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's gotta be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me. I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you're
gone. I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker. Searching for myself, I'm a rolling stone, just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover, wishing on a star for another, with a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. 336-259-7550.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We have started in 1979. Because we're a manufacturer, we're able to control our costs. That's why we like to manufacture as much of the product as we can, because in our factory stores, we can offer a competitive edge over other people around the country. When people come into one of our Palm Casuals, it's like they're buying their car at Detroit. They're going right to the factory and buying their car.
30-day money-back guarantee. That's a big deal with us. I mean, we get 30 days to do anything. I mean, return it, change it, get a different color, get your money back.
When you pull into a store and it says Palm Casual, you know you're at a factory store.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today. Rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Hey, Gamecock fans, Mike Morgan here. During my time in Columbia, one of my favorite places to eat was Salsarita's. When I go back now for work or any other reason, it's still Salsarita's. Yeah, I'm like you. I love tacos. I love Tex-Mex. Where are you going to go to get them? Well, you've got two convenient Salsarita's locations, one in Lexington in the Target Center and one in West Columbia as well. Now, if you like tailgating, and who doesn't? Whether it's for a football game or anything else, they've got the catering hotline. Get yourself some Fiesta packs to take tailgating. Get yourself the Three Amigos bundles for tailgating. They make catering easy with a fresh, hot setup. And again, you just call the phone number 803-543-6297 to set it up. You can also look them up online, or you can even download the app. Salsarita's is just a cut above the rest. That's why they're serving Williams-Brice Stadium and the South Stands, also serving in the Colonial Life Arenas. Again, that catering hotline number, make it easy for you and the folks out there. You don't need to settle for sandwiches every time. 803-543-6297. 803-543-6297.
It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chief Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chief Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.